Today is the Feast of St. Anne. It's also the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. So the Second Oration, Secret and Post-Communion, Finding Missals today, and also the Last Gospel, will be from the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Bans of marriage are announced for the second time for Catherine Hawes and Robert Harris. So anyone knowing of an impediment or a reason why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, please contact one of the priests. Also, as you know, Reverend Mr. Buckley, a graduate from St. Pius V School, one of our own parishioners, will be ordained to the holy priesthood on September 3rd. All are invited, of course, to be here for his ordination. If you're planning on attending the luncheon, the reservations are to be in no later than August 3rd. That is Monday, a week from tomorrow, August 3rd, because there is limited seating for the luncheon. So please make sure you get your reservations in and paid for by August 3rd. Also on Monday, August 31st, we're having our ninth annual golf outing. There are flyers in the vestibule concerning that. If you'd like to go golfing with us, please do sign up for a foursome. If you don't golf and just like to join us that evening for dinner and an evening of casino, please do join us. Again, there is a flyer in the vestibule to sign up for that. Also, many thanks to all of those who helped out yesterday, the men and the young men who came to help move the drywall into the attic. We made light work of it, so to speak. We were finished even before 1 o'clock, so thank you for your efforts. The epistle appointed we read for the Feast of St. Anne is taken from the book of Proverbs. Who shall find a valiant woman? Far and from the uttermost coasts is the price of her. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and she shall have no need of spoils. She will render him good and not evil all the days of her life. She hath sought wool and flax, and hath wrought by the counsel of her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her bread from afar, and she hath risen in the night and given a prey to her household and victuals to her maidens. She hath considered a field and bought it. With the fruit of her hand she hath planted a vineyard. She hath girded her loins with strength and hath strengthened her arm. She hath tasted and seen that her traffic is good. Her lamp shall not be put out in the night. She hath put out her hand to strong things, and her fingers have taken hold of the spindle. She hath opened her hand to the needy and stretched out her hand to the poor. She shall not fear for her house in cold of snow, for all her domestics are clothed with double garments. She hath made for herself clothing of tapestry, fine linen and purple in it as her covering. Her husband is honorable in the gates when he sitteth among the senators of the land. She made fine linen and sold it and delivered a girdle to the Canaanite. Strength and beauty are her clothing, and she shall laugh in the latter day. She hath opened her mouth to wisdom, and the law of clemency is on her tongue. She hath looked well to the paths of her house, and hath not eaten her bread idle. Her children rose up and called her blessed, her husband, and he praised her. Many daughters have gathered together riches. Thou hast surpassed them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And the Holy Gospel. It's a gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, which a man, having found, hid it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant seeking good pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went his way and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net cast into the sea, and gathering together all of the kinds of fishes, which when it was filled, they drew out, and sitting by the shore, they chose out the good into vessels, but the bad they cast forth. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall go out and shall separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They say to him, yes. He said unto them, therefore every scribe instructeth in the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is a householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure new things and old. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Words taken from St. Paul to the Corinthians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All those who are striving to walk the very narrow path that leads to eternal life have a continual struggle against those powerful enemies who are bent on the destruction of not only the natural life, but even more so the spiritual life. But there are those who prefer to walk the broad road that leads to perdition. They say that they've never had a struggle or experienced the struggle or the warfare in this life. And they say they haven't experienced that because they have given themselves up to the slavery of their passions. And they have succeeded in stifling out the remorseful stings of a guilty conscience. They follow blindly the instincts of their wounded, fallen human nature and are unconscious of the need for effort and resistance. It is as though they glide down a rushing stream. They have become complacent and have resigned themselves to the strong currents which simply sweep them along. The stream seems at very first to be very pleasant. It wanders through pleasant fields and forests. The banks of the stream are adorned with very bright colored flowers and tempting fruits. But as in downwards course, there's nothing to stop them. There's nothing to obstruct them. There's everything to gratify their senses. But gently flowing stream soon turns into a rushing torrent. And even running downwards towards the ocean of eternity, which then becomes, the waters become mingled and wholly changed. The fresh, pure water of a gentle stream is changed into bitterness, never again to return to its former state. To these slaves of passion, to these slaves of sin, there is no warfare because they have surrendered themselves to the enemy, even without striking a single blow. It's not a struggle because they have made alliances with the enemies of their souls. To these slaves, temptation is unknown now because it's unnecessary in their case. Why should they be tempted? They don't need to be tempted because there's no need to tempt anyone to do that which they are determined to do because of habit or because of willful act. And therefore, it is those who are striving to please God in which temptations do come. The very fact of being tempted, instead of causing us to feel depressed or discouraged, should actually inspire us. It should inspire us with courage and consolation. We can be sure that our mortal enemy and his horde of demons would not think it worth their time and effort if they were sure, if we were already their captive. To encourage us even more, our Lord himself was tempted so that we, his followers, will be comforted by his example and strengthened by his grace to resist and overcome, as he did, the cunning insinuations of the Prince of Darkness. In order to progress in the spiritual life, we must constantly practice virtue. But what would our virtue be worth if it were not exposed to trial? How would we know if we actually had virtue if we did not put it to the test? How can we expect to win the crown of eternal life without a victorious combat? St. Paul himself tells us in the book of Timothy, no one shall be crowned unless he shall have lawfully fought. Temptation is necessary. It's necessary to prove our virtue and for earning our rewards. We must always prepare for temptations and not be disheartened when they come. We can be assured that God is faithful and we will not be tempted beyond our means, and therefore we too must be faithful to the graces that he gives to us. Even though we know that we are truly trying to please God, that temptations will come, we must nonetheless guard ourselves with some practical reasons and some practical rules. The first rule is that we must always be watchful. Our Lord said, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The sentry who's standing guard and then falls asleep is vulnerable to receiving a mortal wound. But if he had been on his guard, he would easily have avoided that mortal wound. The devil never sleeps. He takes the opportunity when we are off guard to suggest sins to us that when we were watchful, we would have immediately and instantaneously repelled. It is necessary then that we always be on our watch, that we control the impulses of our feelings and our passions, so that we can truly say about ourselves what the psalmist says, "My soul is always in my hands." Well, another simple rule is to foster compunction and sorrow for our past sins. This is so necessary for the avoidance of sin in the future. As temptation comes to our imagination, there's a certain tendency for us to lose sight of the deformity, of the maliciousness, of the evilness of sin. And therefore, we must counteract this tendency with acts of contrition, which move us to detest sin above all other evils. And another rule is not to be disheartened if unhappily we fall into sin. This is probably the greatest mistake and the most commonly made mistake, and that is more fatal to the spiritual life than other mistakes. The devil, after he has succeeded in tempting us to sin, then tries to succeed in causing us to grow disheartened and discouraged, so much so that we give up the struggle and we go on in sin. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to keep a soul in sin. And if one gives up, then one cannot gain the victory. But if, on the other hand, we immediately rise by God's grace and acknowledge our own weakness and have confident recourse to His divine assistance, then instead of gaining a victory over us, the devil will have suffered a disastrous defeat, because we will rise with renewed courage, redouble our vigor and our prayers to carry on the spiritual combat, to make a good confession immediately and not stay in the state of sin, and continue in our way towards heaven. And lastly, we should cultivate a spirit of confidence in God, as well as a spirit of prayer, which is the fruit of that confidence. If we pray with humility and confidence, then we can be assured that our prayers will be heard by God. True, we may not receive the particular grace that we are asking for, but certainly we know that we will receive what is 1,000 times better, according to divine wisdom, the grace that God gives to us that He knows to be the best. When St. Paul prayed to be delivered from a temptation of the flesh, he went to our Lord and said three times, he says, "Thrice have I besought our Lord to take this temptation from me," the temptation of the flesh. He says, "a sting of my flesh." And our Lord answered in these words, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It's the same consoling answer for us. No matter how strong, no matter how vivid the temptation, the grace from Almighty God to overcome all temptations is given to us in plenty. The very thought of knowing that when we are tempted, we receive enough grace to overcome our enemy should move us to pray with confidence. Confidence in the truth of the words of our Lord, "My grace is sufficient for thee." True, God is a God of justice. His justice is reserved for the impenitent sinner, despising the commandments of God willingly, who is bent upon continuing in sin. But to those who sincerely grieve for their past sins, those who sincerely strive to keep the commandments, those who use the sufficient grace to overcome temptations, which will inevitably come to us to try our virtue in our days, to these God shows Himself patient. He shows Himself merciful. Merciful to those who earnestly are striving to love Him, to keep His commandments. He is patient with those who, upon falling, immediately rise by His grace to continue the struggle for the salvation of their souls. How necessary for all of us are these qualities, and to have confidence in the qualities of the heart of God. Necessary for our encouragement. Necessary for our assistance in helping us fight the battle for our souls. My dear faithful, temptations will come because they are necessary for us, that we can prove ourselves as worthy soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ and to prove our virtue. Be not discouraged when temptations do arrive. Know that God is faithful to us and we must be faithful to Him. Watch and pray with confidence. Continue to fight daily the battle against temptations, that we know one day we will be found worthy to deserve a crown. For our Lord and our divine Redeemer promised, to everyone that persevereth to the end will be saved. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.